Good morning and happy Sabbath, everyone. Okay, I wanted to make sure you said a new one, right? New Jerusalem. What else comes to your mind when you see that picture? Jessica? Heaven? All right. Anybody else? The Holy City? All right. And those are all good answers. It's not big enough. Bob's saying, man, I want to see a bigger city than that one. Yeah, it's a fairly good size. I think those are some golden mansions. Not only are the streets gold over there, but the mansions are gold in this artist's depiction of heaven. You know, and I, you know, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, if you start in verse 9, it says, you know, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has in store. But we always leave off verse 10. Verse 10 says, but the Spirit reveals the deep things of God, you know, the Spirit. And so the artist did his, her best here, so we give them credit. You know, but I know even this, I mean, really failed to represent what heaven will be like. Literally, when we see heaven, we will not have words to express. When we finally lay eyes on... Man, I've been to some beautiful places on earth. And, you know, there are some really nice spots in the western section of the United States. Also in the western section of Canada. And by the way, if you go to Jamaica, then you know it's paradise, you know? Yeah, we have beautiful spots all over. But it's nice. But when we get to heaven, nothing that we know on earth will really cause us to say, oh, we miss the old earth. No. When we get to heaven, I mean, just to be there, one songwriter says, just to be there and to look on Christ's face will through the ages be glory for me. That's the glory song. Amen? Number 435. So, they try their best and we appreciate it because, you know, a picture is worth a thousand words. Today, we are looking at the subject, ambassadors going global. Going global. Let's pray. Father and dear God, once again, we know the song is true. Were it not for grace, truly Jesus, we all would have been a very big mess. But you have cleaned us up. You have justified us, Lord, and given us a reason for our existence. You sanctified us through your word, and you have set us on this path to holiness. And we thank you, Lord. We pray that you will speak with us today. Our hearts will come alive. And if it hasn't happened before, Lord, each of us today will be born again. Speak to us through the word and help us to be aware and to appreciate who you've called us to be, ambassadors of Christ. And we should go global with our work. Bless us now as we spend time in your word. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. Ambassadors going global. You know, and I want to join with the team here and also welcome you to our loving Christ-centered church community. And we're happy that you chose to join us here today. Our goal here is always to do what? Inspire hope. What else? To discover Bible truth and be positioned for eternal life through faith in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. And every time you set foot in church, you should have this in your heart and mind. This is your purpose of being here. And always remember that God loves you. God loves you. Remember that term. Remember that reality. Whatever you go through in life. You know, it's true that, you know, sooner or later, each of us will come to a place that we realize that what matters most is God. Especially if we have the prospect to face death soon, reality really kicks in. Nothing in this world matters as much as our faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? Yeah, and we should treasure our relationship with Jesus Christ above every other consideration. We should put God first. So always remember, God loves you. And the greatest demonstration of love in the history of the universe was when Jesus died on Calvary for our sins. No greater love than this, than that a man will lay down his life for his friends. And the Almighty God became the incarnate and laid down his life, not for friends, but for enemies. Because while we were still the enemies of God, Christ died for us. And praise God, we can now call God friend. He calls us friend. Amen? Wonderful work of reconciliation. Wonderful work of redemption. As a Christian, and as a member of God's remnant Seventh-day Adventist Church, you are God's ambassadors from here to the world. God has ordained you to give God's last call of mercy and judgment to this dying world. You are anointed to proclaim the everlasting gospel with a certain sound. You are God's ambassadors. God has called you to think globally and to act locally. Amen? God sends you to proclaim the everlasting gospel worldwide. You are to bring his message to every human being in your sphere of influence. And it's time we get to the realization that we are not merely at work to collect a paycheck. Amen? You are missionaries while you're at work. And for the children who are in school, your full-time job is schooling. So you are God's missionaries in your school. Adults, you who are in the workplace, you are God's missionaries in your workplace. So you ought to be prayerful and ask God for opportunities and ways and means for you to reach your co-workers, your managers, your bosses. You are ambassadors for Christ. And by the way, today you are in the right church, which is a truly global church operating in every country on earth where possible. Amen? This is how you can help. The first thing you ought to do is to dedicate mind and body to God. Put God first. Then another thing you can do is to put up your money. One, return a faithful tithe. And this is something that more of us need to do. The burden of the work should not be left upon the few. All should participate in the work. Amen? Return a faithful tithe and give mission offerings generously. Amen? Yeah, let us not fulfill Mitt Romney's word here at Elmira. He said 47% are takers. He will go down in history for that statement. Turned out he ended up getting 47% of the vote. That was quite something, you know, quite coincidental. But let us not be the ones who are the takers, but let us be givers for Christ. Amen? So let us give our mission offerings generously. And here's another big thing that we need to do. Set aside time to consistently evangelize those in your sphere of influence. I can't do it for you. Neither will the evangelists who come to town do it for you. You ought to evangelize those in your sphere of influence. On judgment morning, how would you like your name to come up? And God says, well, you've worked with this person for 15 years. You've never told them about Jesus. I don't think that would be a good picture in judgment day. And it's true. The philosophy that says, preach Christ. When necessary, use words. The greatest life who ever lived was Jesus Christ. And he used words too to preach the kingdom of God. Amen? So we should find appropriate ways and means in secular workplaces to proclaim Jesus Christ. Yes, my friend. So, you know, set aside time to consistently evangelize those in your sphere of influence. Use your talents. Use your money. Use your influence. Use your spiritual gifts for God at home, at church, and before the world. Amen? Now, Elijah was a faithful ambassador for God. And there are three biblical Elijahs. Did you know? Yes, one. There was Elijah the Tishbite, who is now in heaven. And when Jesus was about to face the ordeal of the cross, Two people came back from heaven to encourage him. Do you know who those were? Elijah and Moses. Elijah the Tishbite. He's now in heaven. And then there was another Elijah. And Jesus said so. Elijah, John the Baptist, who was beheaded for preaching present truth. John the Baptist was beheaded and he awaits his resurrection. And the third Elijah is Elijah the Remnant Seventh-day Adventist Church. Amen? This church is God's agent of present truth in the year 2019. God has raised this church up to give a message that no other church on earth is giving. The judgment hour message. We ought to understand it for ourselves. We ought to align our lives with our loving Lord Jesus Christ. And we ought to give this message like Jesus wants us to. We cannot be carried with the current of the time. We need to stand up for Jesus Christ. Amen? His grace is sufficient. You know, each of the Elijahs was and is God's ambassador of the same Elijah message, telling people in our sphere of influence, prepare to meet thy God. Each is called to live and to give the Elijah message of Revelation 14, 6 to 12. This is the message for this time. This is the present truth. The three angels' messages of Revelation 14 present God's last call of judgment and mercy to mankind. And you are God's chosen ambassadors to bear this message of mercy to the world. Jesus handpicked you as his ambassadors from here to the world. And here is anywhere you find yourself, beginning at home. Amen. You are tasked with bearing this divine message. It was never the work of pastors only. Never. Each person in my hearing is not called to be a pastor, but each person in my hearing is called to be a minister of the gospel of Christ. Amen. So take up your responsibility and be God's ambassadors from here to the world. Go global with God's message. Jesus died for us. God became the incarnate. Praise be to God, he rose again. And very soon, this same Jesus who was taken up into heaven will so come in like manner as they saw him go. Christ is on his way back. We can almost hear the chariot wheels rumbling. But sometimes it seems like we have fallen asleep. Let's not be like the foolish virgins now. But let us be wise unto salvation. Amen? Let us be wise. The scripture passage that was read for us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 14. Paul writes, for the love of Christ compels us. King James Version say, constraineth us. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus. What did we judge? That if one died for all, then all died. That means we are now dead to our trespasses and sin. We are now dead unto sin and unrighteousness. We are now alive unto God. And so he says here that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Who are you living your life for? Do you live your life for your spouse? There's such thing talked about in the spirit of prophecy as man worship and woman worship. Do you live for your man? Do you live for your woman? Did you know that was in spirit of prophecy? Yes. Man worship and woman worship. Where we give everything to the relationship and no time for the Almighty. It says, that they should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Amen. We should live for Jesus Christ. Verse 16 says, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. We don't matter that you were a Jew or someone special with some special class or caste. We don't care about that, Paul says, anymore. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Then verse 17, he scores the point. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Amen. That's what God does. He does not do patchwork in our lives. God does transformation in our lives when we give him the opportunity. Amen. And there's a huge difference. I mean, if you drive down the streets of Elmira or whichever town you live in, and they simply patch the potholes, it's not a very smooth ride. You don't really like it too much. At least patching is better than nothing at all. But I'd much rather them doing a resurface than patching the roads. Amen? So you can get a nice, even, smooth ride. God transform our characters. There are some people who say, well, let me wait until I get this done and then I will get baptized and join the church. Let me wait for this. That is the devil's trick. That's patchwork. What you need to do is just give everything to Jesus Christ in surrender, and he is the one that makes the difference. You will never live to overcome enough, then you can come to Christ. You simply come to Christ and he gives the overcoming power. Amen. And so he says, everyone, therefore, anyone who is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Verse 18, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. Not only that, he has also given us the ministry of reconciliation. Huh? Now, what has your ministry been like in the church? Do you run people out? Do you drive people out? If you do, then you're not for Christ. The Bible says God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. So if your ministry is not drawing people closer to Christ, then you are playing on the devil's side. Your life must attract for the kingdom of God. Amen? Because God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 90 says, that is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. There we go again. That's what God has given us, the word, the ministry of reconciliation. And so each person here, you have to check yourself and ask yourself the question, am I like a magnet attracting to Christ? Or am I driving people away from Jesus? What is the testimony of your life? Do we have a testimony like Enoch that you please God? God wants real disciples in this real time in which we live. Verse 20, it makes it plain, and this is from where I drew my sermon title. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. In the last 2 months, I've done several memorial and funeral services. And it's the young and the old alike. And the question that always comes to my mind, ever since my childhood, when someone dies, did that person make it right with God? People go today to look at the type of casket or all that foolishness. The one thing I have in mind, did that person make it right with God? And I am glad that I am not God. Amen. So I don't have to judge anybody. I leave that up to God. Amen? But I still ask myself the question. And it's a time of self-reflection for me. Am I right with God? And it's funny, when everybody dies, all of a sudden they become saints. They never did anything bad in their lives. And they are gone off to heaven to be with God, and all manner of stuff people say. As soon as someone dies, they automatically become a saint. Well, my Bible tells me in Revelation 14 and verse 12, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus Christ. That's what makes someone a saint. Not death, but life. Living for Christ is what makes us saints. Not dying out of this world. So the word of God is clear. Paul says we are ambassadors, and so we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. You know, I want you to think of what that means, that we are God's ambassadors from here to the world. It is a very serious thing. First of all, God is calling you to live a life apart from sin. There are too many Christians who have no victories in their lives. There's no evidence that they are connected with Jesus Christ. How can I be a Christian and do the same thing that the worst sinner does and still say I'm a Christian? No difference in the life. Where is the power of God that makes the difference? We ought to be more than Christians in name, amen? We ought to be Christian in character, Christian in life, Christian in living. Amen. And many people say they are willing to die for Christ. But before we die for Christ, we must first live for him. Amen. We must first live for him. So God is calling you to live a life apart from sin. That's what it means to be an ambassador. And that is only possible through the righteousness of faith that comes through Jesus Christ. That's the only way we can live a life apart from sin. God is calling you to stand up for righteousness. God is calling you to stand out in righteousness. Be a grace-empowered, outstanding disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen? And as parents, we like when our children do well at school and they get outstanding grades and outstanding performance. And when they are in the choir or the orchestra or in some team, we like when they do an outstanding job. We feel proud when they do it, you know? Yes. But how about having outstanding characters for Jesus Christ? How about being outstanding in righteousness? Being outstanding in Bible knowledge? Being outstanding in holiness? How about each of us as adults be that way as well? Be outstanding for Jesus. Amen? Yes. So this is a privilege for those accepting God's call to be his ambassadors. So use your spiritual gifts. Use your talents. Use your time to uplift Jesus Christ and to help humanity and better humanity around you. Amen? It's time we take it seriously. God is calling you to give and to live God's last call. You are God's ambassadors from here to the world. Go global. My mother's niece was assigned to the office of Jamaica's ambassador to Switzerland. I asked her, in a sentence, what is your highest role as a Jamaican ambassador to Switzerland? What do you think her response was? To represent Jamaica. That's a good one. Yes, she said, to represent country while promoting and defending her interests. Her role was to represent Jamaica while promoting and defending Jamaica's interests. Amen. Now you and I are handpicked ambassadors for a better country whose builder and maker is God. We are ambassadors of heaven, for heaven. We are God's ambassadors from here to the world. And here is wherever you are.
So you and I are called to represent the country of heaven while promoting and defending heaven's interests. Amen? 22 plus years ago, I made my biggest move ever. God empowered me to leave Satan's deceptive plans behind, and I gave my life to God in baptism. On September 21, 1996, I was baptized, giving up the thought of waging guerrilla warfare against what I saw then as a corrupt collective bunch of thugs who were crushing Jamaica's prosperous future. In exchange, God drew me into a loving covenant, saving relationship, and total surrender to Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. God converted me and continues to work on me to date. I got baptized and joined a local branch of the worldwide Seventh-day Adventist Church. Since then, I only want to live for Jesus and proclaim his soon coming. Still, I am not yet perfected, but I am pressing on the upward way, living by faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? Yes. But even so, God is using me as an ambassador from here to the world. How about you? Are you ready to give up all and follow Jesus? Is a covenant saving relationship with Jesus Christ that which matters the most to you on earth? It ought to be. God deserves our noblest thoughts and our highest allegiance and worship. Amen? One day soon, these two tables that are represented here will be the standard in the judgment, and our characters will be measured against the standard. Did we treasure? That's what the word, you know, Terry, kind of close to your name, the Greek word is terio, to keep, to guard, to treasure. Do we guard, do we treasure, do we keep God's Ten Commandments? They are the standard in the judgment, and they are very secure. Human laws may try to disannul God's law, but the great original are secured beneath the throne of God in heaven, and they are God's standard of righteousness. We will have to answer to God about what we did with the Ten Commandments. Amen. James 2 makes it clear. It's a standard in the judgment. You know, and here in Colossians chapter 3, another beautiful passage, Paul again writes, "If you then were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God." And you should check in your Bibles to make sure that I am reading the right passage. Yeah. These two preachers shouldn't quit coming to church. Amen? Old and New Testament. You should pop your Bibles open so we can look at it together. Because I might just call on you to read the next verse too. So open your Bibles. Yes. Paul says, "If you then were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." Talking about the transformed life, how we will live, how we will look for Christ, how we will think. "Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth." That means, you know, the corrupt things that come to our nature. Paul says, put it to death. What are those things? Fornication. And today it comes in so many forms, with people surfing the net for pornography. It says, put it to death. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now, you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy. filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on a new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. And the chapter goes on. You can read it for yourself sometime today. Talking about the character of the new man between verses 12 and 17, and the Christian home between verses 18 and the ending verse in 25. God is calling us to holiness. God is calling us to righteousness. And you know what? No one can go into heaven without Christ's righteousness that come to us through faith. No unholy person will be going to heaven. Because God's not going to allow sin and affliction to rise up a second time. We got to be made righteous here and now. And this only comes through faith. By grace, through faith in Jesus Christ. What are you waiting for? Are you waiting for next week? You don't know if you're going to live to see next week. This could be my last sermon. I don't know if I'm going to live to see next week, but I don't care. All I care about is living for Jesus today. Amen. Christ is sufficient for me. And I think he is for you too. Amen. God is calling us to holiness. Now I want to read you something from the writings of the prophet to the remnant. And it's manuscript 12 written 1895. But we want our homes to be garrisoned. Anybody know what the term garrisoned means? I mean, we have a military man here, Chad. Garrison. It's like a fort being fortified. It says, but we want our homes to be garrisoned, that is to be fortified. How? That no temptation of intemperance shall be there. What are some of those temptations of intemperance? No using of tobacco. Don't chew it, don't smoke it, don't sell it, don't trade it. No using of tobacco. No using of wine. No using of liquor of any kind. Zero amount of alcohol. Zero. God has never permitted the human being to consume alcohol. People like, oh, well, Paul told Timothy, use a little wine for the stomach. I wrote a paper on that. It's evident that Timothy at some point was following the Nazarite vow, which precludes using anything from the grapevine, which means he would not be drinking grape juice. And so when he had that stomach problem, and this is free information for you, grape juice is very good for many stomach ailments. He was telling Timothy, you need to have a little grape juice, brother. It will help to heal your stomach. Never alcoholic beverage. No use of liquor of any kind. No using them. That there at home, the children shall stand in moral integrity for the right, because it is right. Amen. That's the home we want for our children. And thus we can keep their minds pure. That means anyone who is using these things, their minds are impure. And thus we can keep their minds pure and the understanding that they can be educated, they can be trained, they can be developed, that they should be workmen for Jesus Christ. That is our business in this world. It is not to study fashion plates. There are some people who, they're just waiting for the next latest design. You know, I'm still amazed that when a new iPhone or something is coming out, people go form lines overnight to get the next product. Man, I'm blown away by it. I don't see anybody lining up overnight to come to church the next Sabbath morning and to hear a word from Jesus. But people can go for a gadget. I mean, it's beyond me.
I keep my phone as long as it works. I'm going to hang on to it. If it breaks, then I might go for another one. I don't care about what the latest is. Long as it serves the purpose I want it for. Amen. Jim, I still have my flip phone in my drawer, you know. So any day these ones go bad, I pull that and put the chip in there. I still keep a flip phone. Yeah. Try to text on that thing, you know. But yeah, we should line up for salvation. We should form overnight lines for salvation. Not for the next fashionable thing that is coming out. Amen. Yes. And the quote continues, it's not to see how much of treasures and riches we can gather to ourselves. Did you see that? Our purpose in this world is not to see how much treasures and riches we can gather to ourselves. What's our purpose? But it is to see what virtues we can teach our children and our families to possess, that they shall have an influence upon other families, and thus we can be an educating power, although we never enter into the desk. The pulpit is what she was referring to. There's an adage that says, the hands that rock the cradle rules the world. The influence of home is the most powerful influence on earth. The home influence. Catch this quote, one I like very well. A well-ordered, a well-disciplined family in the sight of God is more precious than fine gold, even than the golden wedge of Ophir. To the Almighty God, a well-disciplined, well-ordered family is worth more to him than all the investment on Wall Street. To the Almighty God, a well-ordered, one well-ordered, well-disciplined family is more in the sight of God than all the gold in the Federal Reserves. Well-ordered, well-disciplined family, what does it look like? It's where mother and father, where the family is still together. It's where they both love God and put God first and above everything else. It is where mother and father are living in a marriage, godly, covenant relationship. That's what a well-ordered, well-disciplined home look like. They will have worship morning, and they'll close the day with prayer and thanksgiving to God. That's what a well-ordered, well-disciplined home look like. It will be neat and organized too. Because boy, I think the angels are embarrassed sometimes to visit some of our homes. Because we don't keep them clean. We should remember that we are stewards of God's goods. So we should keep our homes clean and neat too. Amen? And men, it's not only for the women to keep their homes neat. It's a family affair. Amen? Husband and wives ought to work together to make it nice. Amen? Yes, and the atmosphere in the home should be as near to what we expect in heaven as possible. Amen. And don't think I'm preaching to you as one who is perfect. I'm in the growing path as well. Amen. Amen. Growing together. A well-ordered, well-disciplined family in the sight of God is more precious than fine gold, even than a golden wedge of Ophir. And you know the story of Achan with that golden wedge. Lost his life and his family's life because of a stolen wedge of gold and Babylonian garment. And we ought to understand what our message is. Never lose sight of why God raised up the Seventh-day Adventist Church. At the heart of this message is Revelation 14, 6 to 12. The Bible says, and I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. This message is a judgment hour message. It says we should worship him who made heaven and earth, the seas and the springs of water. And the second angel followed in Revelation 14:8, saying, Babylon is fallen, is fallen. That great nation, that great city, because she has made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And then verse 9 picks up, it says, and a third angel followed him, saying with a loud voice, if any man worships the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same will drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels, in the presence of the Lamb. And they have no rest day or night, whoever worships the beast and his image. And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. What does it mean to you? We are in the end. Time is running out literally on this clock. And time is running out on earth's clock. This world as we know it is coming to an end. And it won't be too long from now. Christ is going to put in his appearance. But remember, before he comes, the judgment goes on in the heavenly sanctuary. Your name and my name will be called even before he returns. We should live in holiness. We should live in righteousness. We should live godly lives. We should live unto Christ. Amen? Yes, this is our message. And as I wind on, I want to read of this one. Fathers and mothers, are you teaching the commandments of God as he told you to do from the pillar of cloud? As he commanded Moses to teach Israel when they go out and when they come in and when they rise up and when they sit down? Do you think that the world would be in the condition of crime and criminality it is if it was not sounded in the ears of all throughout the pulpits of our land that God has not any commandments? In other words, the pulpits are preaching that God's commandments are done away with. And the prophet is saying that's the reason for the level of crime and criminality we see in our world today. Because man thinks his final destiny is in his own hands. And so people take lives. These abortionists, these mass terrorist murderers who shoot up places of worship and different places, it's because they are not being taught that they have an accountability to God. They can do this dastard deeds. And it goes back to the home. Not being taught in the home to honor the law of Jehovah. To honor the law of God. Do you think that the world would be in the condition of crime and criminality it is if it was not sounded in their ears all through the pulpits of our land that God has not any commandments? Do you think we would see the robberies, the thefts, the adulteries, and every conceivable evil if the right instruction had been given in our households? If generations back had taught their children the commandments of God? No. God cannot work with the efforts of those who are trampling underfoot his law and making it of no account, making it void in our world. But he calls upon us to be missionaries. Missionaries where? Missionaries for God in your homes. This is serious. In the home, take your children that you have brought into the world without voice or consent of themselves. In other words, like I've been preaching and I finally found a quote that matches it. When you and I or anyone you know were born into this world, we had no choice in the matter. But to be born again has everything to do with our choice. God has made a provision. We have to make the choice. Take your children that you have brought into the world without voice or consent of themselves and place them in a channel of light. Instruct them every morning That's what I was talking about, morning worship. Instruct them every morning and teach them to pray. Bring them to Jesus Christ as the mothers in the days of Christ brought theirs to him. Referring to Matthew 19:14. There are some men in this world that are merely sperm donors. They do not take on their responsibility of fatherhood. And there are women in this world who are egg donors. They don't take on the responsibility of motherhood. God wants us to play our role seriously. Children did not ask to come into this world, and if we bring them here, we better take care of them. Amen? Amen. Amen. Now, these are very simple truths that I'm telling you, but they are weighty with eternity. And I want you to have ears to hear and minds to understand that the love of God is without a parallel. Amen. Remember what I always want you to remember? God loves you. The love of God is without a parallel. So always remember, God loves you. You are God's ambassadors from here to the world. Go global. So start in your home and go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo and behold, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Amen. Amen. Well, if this is your commitment today, to go from this place to make disciples, and only if this is your commitment, I'm going to invite you to stand, and we're going to sing hymn number 121 to close. If you are not committed to go from this place to make disciples, then don't stand. You are permitted to sit during the song. Amen. Father and our God, we thank you for this privilege that we could have come to your house today to fellowship with believers of like mind, to worship our true and living God, the creator of the heaven and the earth, maker of a six-day creation week with the seventh-day Sabbath to close that week. Thank you for your goodness, Lord, and thank you for appointing and anointing each of us here as ambassadors for you, and that we should go global with this message. Help us then, Father, to stand in our lot like Daniel, to live for you, to stand for you, and to speak for you, Jesus. And help us not to be afraid to declare that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah of all mankind, and our soon coming King. Forgive us of all our sins and trespasses, and cleanse us, Lord. Fill us with your righteousness. Fill us with your holiness. And as we go from this place, may we go with God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.